Today's daf is Sukkah daf Lamed Tes. We left off on the bottom of daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom of the page. We're going to discuss two cases where Rava advises against splitting up a phrase, taking a breath at the wrong place in the middle of a phrase or something that we say, and Rav Safra disagrees on both of those occasions. And then we're going to talk about which psukim we say twice during Hallel, where we are kofel b'dvarim, and then right before the Mishnah, we're going to have a little piece about making brachos on mitzvos over la'as yasin. Then the Mishnah is going to talk about when Shemitah year comes, how one is supposed to purchase an esrog during Shemitah year. Particularly, the Gemara is going to discuss the concern of giving Shemitah money that has Kedusha Shviyas, to an Am Ha'aretz, and how concerned we have to be about that, how much money of that kind we can give him. The Gemara in Amud Beis is going to talk about the difference between Kedusha Shviyas as it relates to an esrog and a lulav, that the Kedusha Shviyas may be chal based on a different point in time by an esrog than it would be by a lulav. Let us begin from three lines from the bottom of the page on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. Amar Rava. So says Rava, Lo lema inish baruch haba v'hadar b'shem Hashem. A person shouldn't say baruch haba, pause, and then say b'shem Hashem. Ella baruch haba b'shem Hashem ba'adadi. Rather, you should say it as one long phrase, baruch haba b'shem Hashem. What's the problem? So Rashi writes, mi she'ein acher makra oso, someone who's reading himself, doesn't have somebody else reading for him, where he's going to repeat, lo lema baruch haba v'yanshim b'netayim, v'hadar b'shem Hashem, shouldn't say baruch haba, breathe, and then say b'shem Hashem. Why? De lo kaima askara amilsa de la'el. Because you are now splitting the b'shem Hashem from the first half of the phrase, and it doesn't seem that the b'shem Hashem is going on anything. Umichsi kamotzi levatala. So it looks like you're just saying shem Hashem levatala. You're just saying up b'shem Hashem without out of context. And that's shem shemayim levatala. So he says you should not say it separately. You should say it all together. Amalei Rav Safra, so Rav Safra says to Rava, Moshe, Shapir Ka'amrit. So he refers to Moshe, Rashi says, Gadol Adar. That was a compliment, that when you refer to the Gadol Adar, you refer to him as Moshe, because as in Moshe Rabbeinu. You think that's correct what you're saying? No, it's clearly finishing off the phrase that you have already begun, and there's no such concern when you're finishing off a phrase that you have already begun. Similarly, Amar Rava, Lo Lema, in this person should not say, Yehesh Me Rabba Vahadar Mivarach. He shouldn't say Yehesh Me Rabba and then breathe and then say Mivarach. Ella Yehesh Me Rabba Mivarach Ba'adadi. He should say Yehesh Me Rabba Mivarach altogether as one phrase. Amalei Rav Safra, Moshe, Shapir Ka'amrit. Again, you think you're saying right? No, it's just finishing off the phrase. Everyone realizes that it's just finishing off the phrase, and there's no problem with doing that. Now, Tosus points out on the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis that Rava seems to have changed his mind at some point, because over here Rava is saying that you have to be very careful not to split the phrase. When you take a breath in the middle of a phrase, it looks like the two halves of the phrase have no connection to each other. Tema, of mitzvahs chalitza, in the end of Yevamos, the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Hayman de Makri Chalitza, Lo Likri Lidida, Lo Luchudei, Lo Likri Lidida, Lo Luchudei, and Va'ava Yevami Luchudei. It's Lo Ava Yavmi. He didn't want to do Yibam. So don't say Lo, breathe, and then Ava Yavmi. He wanted to do Yibam. De Mashma Ava Yavmi. It sounded like he wanted to do Yibam. Elo lo avi yavami, that bebas achas. You have to read it all at once. Velo likri lididei lo luchudei v'chafatzi lekachta luchudei. And when you're reading to him exactly what to say, when you're telling him exactly what to say as his part in the chalitza process, do not say lo and then breathe and then say chafatzi lekachta. Rather, you should read it the mashma chafatzi lekachta, because that will make it sound like chafatzi lekachta, that I did want to marry her. Elo lo chafatzi lekachta. Rather, you should read it as lo chafasi lekachta, I didn't want to marry her. Bepamachas, all at one time. And Omar Rava, the same Rava over there, says, Afsuki milso lasan ba. No, that's no problem. You could have a pause, you could have a break, that's no problem. But maybe Rava changed his mind because after Rav Safra corrected him over here, so he agreed to Rav Safra. Doesn't say whether he continued his machlokas. Typically, we assume that the machlokas went on, that the shita that was questioned still maintained his position. But Tosfos says it must be that Rava changed his position, and that's why it appears differently in Maseches Yevamos. Now it could be that's what Rashi was being careful about when Rashi, in the first few words of this Rashi, Lo Lema Inish, mi she'ein acher makre oso, that someone who doesn't have someone else reading it to him should not do this, should not split up the phrase. It sounds like Rashi saying that if acher makre oso, if someone else is reading it to you and telling you what to say and saying, repeat after me, like a lot of the Masari Kedushins do under the Chuppah, haray, haray, so repeat after me. If someone is doing it like that, maybe Rashi is saying that there's no such concern for splitting up the phrase, because it's obvious that he's not splitting up the phrase, he just doesn't know what to say. So he's following along, and you can't give him too much you can't bite off more than he can chew. You can't give him too much to say at one time, so you have to break it down into very small pieces. But if he's saying it himself, then he has to be careful. The Gemara in Yevamos, the Tosfos quoting, is Haiman de Makri Chalitza, the one who's being Makri the Chalitza to the woman and to the man who's actually telling them what to say. So Pashtus, I thought that's what Rashi meant. Rashi's trying to answer Tosfos Kasha by adding in that little phrase at the beginning of Rashi. Now, the phrase Yeheshmer Rabba Mvarach is Machlok Rishonim, what the phrase means. We say it all the time, so it's kedai to chazer over a little bit what it means. So the Machzor Vitri says that it's a tefillah that we're davening, Sheyeshmei, the Shem, Hashem, Shem Ka, right, that's the Yeheshmei, Shem Ka, Rabba should be complete. Because the pasuk Kiyad al Kes Ka, we darshan that the shame is not shalem until Timcha Zaro Shalamalek, until we destroy the Zaro Shalamalek. And there's our Daf Yomi coincidence in Erev Shabbos Parshas Zachar, that Yeheshmei Rabbah is all about the shame only being complete when we're Timcha Zaro Shalamalek. So we darshan that the Shmo Gadol V'Shalem, that his name should be great and complete, because that's the sign of Geula. Why is that a sign of Geula? The Gemara Masech Sanhedrin tells us that there are three things that Klal Yisrael has to do when we're nichnas la'aretz, and that's we have lahach rezara shalamalik, lahamla melech, lahach rezara shalamalik, v'livnos la'em beis habechira. We have to establish a king when we enter into Eretz Yisrael. We have to destroy a malik, and then we have to build the beis hamikdash. So Rav Shechter points out people use the term sometimes aschalta de geula, that something is the beginning of the geula, not the beginning of a geula. What? Who are we to say whether something is aschalta de geula? So he said pashtus. We can say very easily, Geula is defined by the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash, as when he refers to Sefer Shmos, as a Sefer HaGeula is defined by the Ramban because we have a binyan, a mishkan at the end of Sefer Shmos, and building a mikdash is the definition of Geula. So Geula is what Aschalta de Geula will be, the beginning of the process that culminates in the building of a mikdash. So if we're told that there's a three-step process when we enter Eretz Yisrael, Lahamla Melech, Lahach Rezara Shalamalek, Vilivnos Lem Beis HaBechira, so the beginning of that process is what we can accurately call Aschalta Dugula. So then it just gets tricky. Do you say a Jewish government in Israel without a Malchus, without a typical Malchus, is a fulfillment of Lahamla Melech? So Shechter believes, yes, that's called Lahamla Melech, that as big as Rishayim as some of them are in terms of their complete lack of caring for the Torah mitzvos. If you read in the Navi, a lot of times we had kings that weren't so excited about Torah mitzvot, that did avodah zarah here and there, more than here and there, all the time. So maybe, but the other point of view is no, these are rishayim. It's not a malchus, so it wouldn't be as chalta de geula. But that's what the term would mean, that it's the beginning of the geula. So when we talk about la'ach rezara shalamalek, we're talking about part of the geula process. Rav Shechter writes in Mikve Hatzon that even though we're not allowed to be koveh nu yamim tovim, the Nesivus writes in his commentary Megillas Esther that you're allowed to be koveh yantif on what is l'chora aschalta de geula, on what the chacham of that generation think might be the aschalta de geula. So Nesivus says that when the Purim story happened, the chachme adar thought that this might be the beginning of the geula, and that's why they were koveh yantif. It turned out that they were wrong. It wasn't aschalta de geula, so we don't cancel the yantif because of that. But any major event that is l'chora aschalta de geula, you're allowed to be koveh yantif for. So anyway, so according to this, Yeheshmei Rabbah is one tefillah, and then we add Mivarach Liolam Lo Me'almaya, which is an additional bakasha. But the Rish says L'chora more kipshuto, that it's one tefillah, that the whole thing is one tefillah. Yeheshmei Rabbah Mivarach, that the Shema Gadol should be Mivarach, not that the Yeheshmei Rabbah, that is the Shem Ka, should be full, should be complete by now destroying Amalek, but Yeheshmei Rabbah, his great name, Hashem's great name, Mivarach, should be blessed. Now, in our Sugil L'chora, it sounds like the Ri, because we're saying not to be mafsik between Yeheshmei Rabbah and Mevorach. So it makes it sound like it's got to be one tefillah. According to the Machzor Vitri, why not to be mafsik? There's two separate tefillos. Why would Rav have a problem with being mafsik between them? Rav should have said between Yehei and Shmei, he should have said that you shouldn't split between the two. Not between Shmei Rabbah and Mevorach. And also from Rav Safra it sounds that way, because even though he disagrees with Rava, his reason is Asuke Milsa Lestanba, that it's just completing the sentence. But in the perish of what Yehei Shmei Rabba means, Lachari is molded to Rava that it's one Hemshech. So it's very tamua what the Machzor Vitri, how the Machzor Vitri could say what he says. This is a kasha that a lot of the Achronim ask on the Machzor Vitri. So several terutzim are offered. One of them is that even if the perish of Yehei Shmei Rabba is like the Machzor Vitri says, from the previous din of Rava, we already see that you're not supposed to split between Shmei and Rabba, because it seems like you're being Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. So that's why he said not to split it up. Over here, Rava is telling us in this additional din that even though there's room to say that after he said Yehei Shmei Rabba, it's one tefillah, and then therefore it would be mutter to be mafsik between Yehei Shmei Rabba and Mevarach, because it's a totally separate tefillah. So that's what Rava is being mechadish. That even though it's a separate tefillah, it's still connected in some way to Yehei Shmei, as if you're being mevakish two bakashos at one time. Yehei Shmei Rabbah, the Shem Hashem should be complete again, and another bakasha that Yehei Shmei Mevorach, that's also going on the Shem Hashem, meaning the Yehei Shmei goes on both tefillos. Number one, that it should be Rabbah, and number two, that it should be Mevorach Le'olam Lo Me'amaya. So you want to make sure that the Yehei Shmei part connects to both, and that's why you're not supposed to breathe between the two. Meaning, the first din of Rava was a chashash that it's going to look like you're being Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. Second din of Rava, there's no chashash that it's going to look like you're being Motzi Shem Shemayim Levatala. Because when you say Yehei Shmei Rabbah, according to Machzor Vitri, that's a tefillah. That's good. That's a bakasha. That's a complete bakasha. His concern was that the second phrase loses some mashmaus when you split it from the first phrase, because it all goes back on Yehei Shmei. It's just that there are two tefillos about Yehei Shmei. Number one, that it should be Rabbah, and number two, that it should be Mevorach. So that's the second chiddush of Rav, and that's why Rav needs to say it both times, because that answers the other kashya the Achronim asks. What's Rav teaching me with the second with his second halacha over here? It sounds like he's saying the same thing twice. Okay. We should recall the Gemara in Brachos that Kodesh Baruch Hu's favorite tefillah is Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach. That Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Gemara tells us that Eliyahu HaNavi informed one of the Amoraim that when Kodesh Baruch Hu hears such a tefillah, he hears Klal Yisrael get together in the Batei Knesios and offer such a tefillah, so he laments and regrets the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So this is a very, very powerful tefillah. That's why the Shulchan Aruch uses such strong language about being Onei Yehei Shmei, the Chazal do already, about being only Yehei Shmei Rabbah b'kol kocho, that a person should put all of his energy into answering Yehei Shmei Rabbah, and how terrible it is to talk during Kaddish, and specifically to miss a Yehei Shmei Rabbah. The Yetzer Hara for it is apparently very great, probably because it's such a such an important thing. So the Yetzer Hara is very active on getting us to miss a Yehei Shmei Rabbah, or to not be as attentive as we should be during Kaddish sometimes. Okay, Makom Shenagu Lichpol. So the Mishnah had said that wherever the minig is to repeat a pasuk, so we repeat those pasukim. So Tana Rebbe Kofel Badvarim, Rebbe would repeat some certain parts of the Hallel from Anna Hashem Oshiana, and on he would repeat. Rabbi Lazar in part of Mosef Badvarim, he repeated other things. My Mosef, what does it mean? He added Am Rabbi Mosef Lichbol Meodcha Lamata, not just from Anna Hashem and on. He already from Odcha would repeat everything like we do. Would say the pasuk twice. Levarich Yivarich. If the minig is to say a bracha on Hallel, so you say a bracha on the Hallel. Amar Abayi lo shanu ela li achrav. Then when the Mishnah says you follow the minag, whether they say a bracha or not, that's talking about a bracha after the Hallel. Avalafanav mitzvah levarich. But when it comes to saying a bracha before, then certainly everyone agrees that you have to say a bracha before. Damar avidam shmuel. Kol mitzvos kulan mevarich alein over la asyasan. All mitzvos require a bracha over la asyasan. Now kol mitzvos kulan kulan is a bit of a misleading phrase, because it's not in fact all mitzvahs that require bracha. There's that well-known Shuvas HaRashba in Simin Yud Ches, where someone asked the Rashba, what is the rule, when do we say, why don't we say a bracha on giving tzedakah, why don't we say a bracha on lending money to people, why don't we say a bracha on so many mitzvahs? And the Rashba said there's no single rule, but there are several rules. One of them is that you don't say a bracha on any mitzvah that only came about because you did an avera, like Hashavas HaGzela, because it's a busha that you have to do such a mitzvah to return a gzela that only happened because you stole. Another rule is, and this is very relevant, that a person doesn't say a bracha on a mitzvah that's not completely in his hands to finish. If he has to rely on someone else to finish the mitzvah, so you don't say a bracha on such a mitzvah. That's what the Rashba says. That's what some of the Achronim use that Rashba to discuss why it is that we don't say a bracha, just to discuss on Tuesday night, why it is we don't say a bracha on the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos. Mitzvah Mishloach Manos, a mitzvah, it's just like Mikra Megillah is a mitzvah. Why is it we say a bracha on Mikra Megillah, but not on Mishloach Manos? So some suggest, well, maybe like the Rashba, it's not completely up to you to finish the mitzvah, because you need to give it to somebody else, and if that somebody else doesn't accept it, maybe you're not mekayim the mitzvah. But that's not so pashut, because the Ramah holds that if you give Mishloach Manos to somebody, you offer Mishloach Manos to somebody, and the person is mochel, he says no thank you, he doesn't accept it, so you're still mekayim your mitzvah of Mishloach Manos, the Ramah holds. So l'chora, it is kula biyada osa, it is completely up to you to do the mitzvah. Rav Pesach Frank in Mekrei Kodesh says, no, maybe it's still not completely up to you, because maybe when you send your shliach to give the Mishloach Manos, he's not going to deliver. And if he doesn't deliver, so it's not up to you, it's up to him whether he delivers or not. He's making a major assumption. He's making an assumption that you actually have a shaliach to deliver your Mishloach Manos. That assumption is like a chumrah, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Binyan Sion. Mishnah Berurah says, Binyan Sion is mesupak, that maybe you need to appoint a shaliach in order to do Mishloach Manos, that you can't do it just by giving it yourself, that you need a shaliach dafka. If you actually look up the Binyan Sion, though, he doesn't seem so mesupak. He starts out by saying, I always wondered, why is it called Mishloach Manos? Why is it not Nesinas Manos? Where does Mishloach come from? So he says, once I saw the Ramah, that if you give and the guy is mochel, that you're yotzei, so there was no mystery anymore. That it's the mitzvah is in the shiluach, whether he takes it or not. So the whole mitzvah is just to do the sending. You don't have to worry about whether he takes it. He says, and that's such a better answer than what I otherwise would have thought, which is that you have to dafka send it through a shliach. Because me'echidesi, that you should have to dafka send it through a shliach. So he entertains it as a possibility for like less than a half a second, and then he rejects. But Mishnah Berurah quotes it. Mishnah Berurah says that he's mesupik, so some people are makvid about that. So Rav Zvi Yosef Frank assumes that that's how everyone does Mishloach Manos, and says that maybe that's why we don't make a bracha, because it's not kulo biyada osa. Pashtus, the reason we don't make the bracha Mishloach Manos is like, because the Rambam said, we hold like the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos that kol mitzvah shebein adam l'makom mevarchan alein over las yasen. All mitzvahs shebein adam l'makom, we make a bracha over las yasen. So Kes Mishnah, you don't need a Kes Mishnah to make this diuk, but the Kes Mishnah makes the diuk. He says bein adam l'makom, so the implication is bein adam l'chavero, you don't say a bracha. So any mitzvah shebein adam l'chavero, you wouldn't say a bracha. Mishloach Manos is certainly a mitzvah bein adam l'chavero. But anyway, so all mitzvahs, or many, many mitzvahs, we say a bracha over las yasan. So therefore, it's not really up to you whether you're going to say a bracha before Hallel. Now, of course you're going to say a bracha before Hallel. It's a mitzvah. So you make a bracha on it over las yasan. We also see that Hallel, by the way, is definitely considered a mitzvah. Hallel is qualifies as a mitzvah that you would say a birchas hamitzvah on. Umay mashma dahay over lishna da akdumehu. Who says the word over means before you do something? How do we know that that's what the word means? Well, Chazal used this phrase over las yasan. So that comes from a couple of places. Damar of Nachum Reyitzchak, Dechsiv, Pasuk says, Vayarat achimatz derech hakikar, that achimatz was running, Vayavor es hakushi, and he arrived before the kushi. He passed by and arrived before the kushi, who is also running to deliver the bad news. Abai Yomer Mehacha Vuhu Avar Lifnehem. Vibai Yosef Mehacha Vayavar Malchum Lifnehem Vashem Berosham. So in all these contexts, the word over means before. So we see that over Las Yasan means before. So a couple of things in Tosfos here, some very important Tosfos. First of all, Avalufanov Mitzvah Levarich says Tosfos, this exact phrase, that the whole issue of minag is only whether you say a bracha afterwards or whether you say a bracha before. Here's our second Daf Yomi coincidence of the day. Says Tosfos, this exact discussion. The exact phrase appears in one other place in Shas, and that is Megillah Daf Chaf Aleph of Beis about Mikra Megillah. The Mishnah says in Megillah, in the beginning of the third paragraph of Megillah, the Mishnah says that if you have a minhag to say a bracha before the Megillah, so that if you have a minhag to say the bracha on the Megillah, so then you should follow that minhag. And if the minhag is not say a bracha on the Megillah, so don't say a bracha. So the Gemara over there also says, no, that's only the bracha after the Megillah, but before the Megillah, it's not totally a minhag. There's no minhag about before the Megillah. That's a requirement to say a bracha before the Megillah. Ki gavnar min gavim Megillah perak hakaris Megillah omed v'chein tnan perak basim and v'yesh shaton bracha lefana v'ein ton bracha liachrav. And the Gemara Nida phrases it even more unusually. The Gemara Nida says there are some things that you make a bracha on before, but not afterwards. Umefarish b'Gemara lasuy rechani. And the Gemara says, you know, like smells. When you make a birch sananin for a smell, a birchas hareach, so you would make a bracha before, but not after the smell. Unlike food, where you make a bracha before and after. Savi matzi lemeimar. So Tosfos points out the Gemara could have said lasu ye halal megillah b'makom shnagu shalol levarich achareihen. It could have said halal megillah in places where they have a minhag not to say a bracha afterwards. That's the some things that you say a bracha on before and not afterwards. Elei rechani psikalei. But smells is across the board. There's no yesh v'yesh. There's no some nohig, some not nohig. Everyone only makes a bracha before smells, not after smells. But halal megillah, since it's only a minhag, the Gemara chose not to give that example. Ukumoke Navamatsi Lemer Tos points out it also could have said every other mitzvah in the world, right? Every mitzvah we make a bracha. It's very unusual to have a bracha after the mitzvah. So it could have said mitzvahs tuva kigon sitis, vishofar, visukkah, vilulav. So he said, "My depirush Rabbeinu Tam. That if you assume like Rabbeinu Tam, de'im v'varchel nishmar chukav elat tefillin l'chudayhu." Rabbeinu Tam holds that. The Gemara says that by tefillin you make a bracha lishmar chukav after the tefillin. So Rabbeinu Tam holds, yeah, that's just for tefillin, but not for other mitzvahs. V'dafka k'shem salkav mishum laila, and that's only even by tefillin, only when you're taking it off because it's nighttime, because you've been wearing your tefillin all day long. Ukman damar laila lav zman tefillin, and you're assuming that laila is not zman tefillin, so you need to take off your tefillin at night. So that's why he would assume that all other mitzvos, there is no bracha afterwards, and it could have been given as the example of Maseches Nida. It's odd that Tosa says that the example that could have been given is Halal and Megillah for those places that don't have a minhag to say a bracha afterwards. Maybe Halal, all mitzvos you say a bracha before and not afterwards. And the other major Tosos over here, over La Asiyasad, the Gemara says we're supposed to make a bracha over La Asiyasad. So Tosa says, what about Lulav? How does one fulfill this with the Lulav? To make a bracha over la siyasa on netila sulav. So he has several suggestions. He says, "Mitam zet tzarek levarich alulav kodem shiatlenu." It must be that you take the lulav before you take it. You make the bracha on lulav before you take it. Dila achash shenatlo midag beinafek begetam rimusof pirkin. Because once you lift the lulav and esrog, you've already been yotzei the mitzvah. Even though the nanuim are good and they're important, they're shiare mitzvah and they keep away all sorts of piranos. But nevertheless, they're not. The mitzvah is midag beinafek be. The second you pick it up, you're ready yotzei the mitzvah. So if that's the case, l'chora, you should say the bracha while the lulav and esrog are sitting on a table in front of you. Say the bracha, then pick them up. But then says Tosfos, "Mi lo mistaver klal." But it's not mistaver. That's how you're going to do it. Dehechi varich alav hu munach bekli v'amar b'komitz rabba tefillin meimusayim varich alein mishas hanachat chas kshira. You can't make a bracha while it's sitting there in the kli. It's like making a bracha while your tefillin are in the bag. And we don't make a bracha. Then we make the bracha on the tefillin when it's already around our arm. It's already pretty much around our head, and we just haven't tightened it yet. V'kol sha'a she'ina mitzvah muzumenes b'yad alasos lo mistaver klal levarich alav. If you're not even holding at the point where the mitzvah is there for the taking, it's not mistaver to be saying a bracha yet. V'shema mishayasos, suggestion number two says Tosos, v'shema mishayaschelita lulav kodem shiita la'esrog mivarech. Maybe you should take the lulav in one hand, and before you pick up the esrog with the other hand, maybe that's when you should say a bracha. V'ainu, over las yasin, shemakvin zezeh, and that is over las yasin, even though you're saying al netilas lulav, and you're already holding the lulav, but still, since the dalaminim are ma'akiv each other, you're not getting any kiyum mitzvah on the lulav until you take the esrog. So therefore, you could say the bracha before you pick up the asra. That's suggestion number two. Suggestion number three, inami, la'achar shenot l'shneyem. Maybe you make the bracha after you're already holding all four minim, which is what we do. Ella shehofech echad mehen. Turn one of them upside down. We always turn the esrog upside down. I imagine it's more challenging to turn the ilulav upside down. So he says, turn one of them, or the hadasim, or whatever. Right? He says, turn one of them upside down. Because we're only yotze if we hold them right side up. From the boards of the Mishkan, that it says atzi shitim omdim, omdim means derech kedilasan, that they have to be stood up in the right side up. So too with the dalet minim, we have to hold them right side up. Right side up means that the part that's facing the ground, that's closest to the ground, is the part that was attached to the tree, or the part that was attached to the ground before it was picked. A lot of times the palm branches lean over, so we don't say that you should hold the lulav upside down, because when it grew facing down. No, the bottom is defined as the part that was attached to the tree. Rav Shachter, I remember when in Shir, he said, it has to be that way, otherwise if you get a lulav from China, you'd have to hold it upside down, because it's the other side of the world. Now, obviously we don't view it that way, we view the bottom as whatever is attached to the tree. Now another possibility, Tulsa says, I think it's number four already, says another possibility how to make the bracha is maybe hold it the right side up and still don't say the bracha, but ad achar bracha, maybe have kavana not to be yotze until after the bracha. The afalgav d'amrin b'sof ruu bezin the mitzvah sein tzrichas kavana mikol makom bal karka lo nafik, even though mitzvah sein tzrichas kavana, but even if you hold mitzvah sein tzrichas kavana, you can't force someone to be yotze if he's having kavana shalol latzeis. So pick up the dalet minim with negative kavana. This tells the shtasa, he says it's rat shas, the negative kavana, you can't force a person kiyum a mitzvah when there's negative kavana. If he dafka has kavana not to be yotze, so he obviously understands mitzvah sein tzrichas kavana not to mean that kavana is irrelevant. If kavana is irrelevant, negative kavana is irrelevant also. He understands mitzvah sein tzrichas kavana is that we assume it's like a stama l'shma. It's like min astam. Even if you're not having kavana, we assume that if you would have kavana, you would want the proper kavana. But if you bedafka say that you're not interested in having kavana, so then we can't force the kavana. Now we pass a mitzvah tzrichas kavana by mitzvah d'oraisa, so it wouldn't even help us on Yom Rishon to say like this. Meaning he says even the man di yamar mitzvah sein tzrichas kavana. Now we pass mitzvah tzrichas, so this would be easier. Meaning we l'chora, but it's just always best to satisfy both shitos of mitzvah tzrichas kavana, mitzvah sein tzrichas kavana, which is a whole nother sugya, the whole concept of mitzvah tzrichas kavana. My son asked his rebbe in Shir this week whether mitzvah tzrichas kavana applies to mitzvahs ben adam l'chavero or only mitzvahs ben adam l'makom. So his rebbe said, maybe you know what Talmud Chacham, you could ask the question too. So he immediately emailed my brother and he asked him the question. So my brother brought him a few rayas that where poskim say that mitzvah tzrichas kavana does not apply to mitzvahs ben adam l'chavero, that there's it's not necessary to have kavana. My brother personally wasn't convinced that any of the rayas were that convincing. I was talking to Rav Yonason Sachs this week, and he told me that he wrote in his svarim that definitely mitzvah tzrichas kavana does not apply to mitzvahs ben adam l'chavero, but he didn't find it anywhere. He couldn't find it in any svarim, and a new sefer just came out in Hilchos Tzedakah from Eretz Yisrael, and he bought the sefer and he saw that he says over there that mitzvah tzrichas kavana doesn't apply to tzedakah because the mitzvah ben adam l'chavero, it's a mitzvah that's in the totzah, it's not the maisa, so the kavana is irrelevant. And he was so excited to see where the person was quoting from, and he looked in the footnote, he said, and he was quoting me. So still, he wasn't as excited anymore. I would be more excited, but he wasn't as excited anymore. Okay, so those are the four eitzes that Tosfos has of how to make a bracha over la'asiyas on the mitzvah of lulav specifically. Then Tos says another possibility. Maybe you could say the bracha with kavana to be able to say the mitzvah after you've already picked up all five minim. Mishum to lo gamra mitzvah so adachir ne'anua. Maybe because the mitzvah is not complete until you're minaneh, until you actually do the na'anuim. Because after all, when we make a bracha on netilas yadayim, we don't make the bracha over las yasin before we wash our hands. We make a bracha after we wash our hands, before we dry our hands, which a lot of people don't realize. It's supposed to be before before we dry our hands, not after we dry our hands. A lot of times people are rushed to dry their hands. By the time they finish the bracha, their hands are already dry. You're supposed to lift up your hands and say the bracha before we dry our hands. Bekoshi, it's difficult to explain. Rishonim have a hard time explaining why it is we make the bracha after the netila. L'chor, it should be made before the netila, because you're supposed to make over las yasin. Okay, but our minig is that we make it after. Rav Shechter makes it before. But the minig of pretty much everybody is that we make it after the netila, but before we actually dry our hands. We should also realize that the bracha val netilas yadayim is going on the washing. It's not going on the amotzi we're going to make later. And that's another very, very, very big misconception people have. They think as they're washing or after they wash, before they make the bracha, they could still talk. As long as they don't talk between the bracha val netilas yadayim and when they make hamotzi. The halacha is the opposite. You talk between val netilas yadayim and hamotzi, it's not such a big deal. You don't have to wash again. It's not the val netilas yadayim was on the netilas yadayim. We try not to be mafsik, better not to be mafsik, but it's a much bigger deal to talk in between washing our hands and saying the al netilas yadayim, because the al netilas yadayim is going on the netila, it's going on the washing. But Tos says you see that as a model that sometimes you could have done the mitzvah, but there's still another additional part to the mitzvah, like the niguv yadayim, like washing the hands, and therefore it's still called over las yasin. You could still say the bracha. It's not too late to say the bracha. So maybe the nanuim are like niguv yadayim. You pick up the lulav yasir yotzei already, but you still the nanuim. Then he says nanuim maybe is a little different, because nanuim is shiare mitzvah, meaning the niguv is actually a chelek of the mitzvah. Nanuim are an extra and an add on to the mitzvah. But Tosa says sometimes even after a mitzvah is over, as long as even after we have fulfilled the mitzvah, as long as the mitzvah continues, where as long as we're still in the mitzvah, we're still involved in the mitzvah, even though we've already fully fulfilled the mitzvah, you're still allowed to make the bracha. For example, the Gemara talks about, what does he say? He gives some examples. Yeah, he says, and lulav would be a good example of that, because minhagan shalan she Yerushalayim, the Gemara is going to say later on, a couple of days from now, that they would walk around all day with their lulav and biyadam. So there's a mitzvah min hamuvchar to walk around carrying lulav all day. So that's considered a continuation of the mitzvah. Or, for example, the Gemara says in Perek HaRoah by Tzitzis, ha'osa tzitzis liatzmo says, asher kishom tzotzis la'aso tzitzis, nis'atif ba, he says, Nisatef Patzitzis. Apparently, after he's Nisatef in the Tzitzis, because the mitzvah continues as long as he remains Mu'utaf Patzitzis. So maybe by Lulav you could say the same thing. So that's, I guess, a sixth possibility. That after you've already been Mekayim the mitzvah, it's still okay, because you're still carrying the Lulav. And as long as you're still carrying the Lulav, you're still involved in the mitzvah. But that's a Chiddush. Tosfos is saying that while you still carry the Lulav, every moment you're carrying the Lulav is some sort of Kiyum HaMitzvah. That's what Salvech said in that Gemara and Daf Mem Aleph, and it says that the Anshei Yerushalayim would walk around all day with the Lulav and Biyadam. They would go to the Beis HaKnesses, Lulav and Biyadam. They would go to this place, Lulav and Biyadam. Wherever they would go, that was Lulav and Biyadam, that it can't just be Stam, a nice thing. It's that sweet, that they would walk around. There's no just that sweet in Yiddishkeit. There's a Kiyum HaMitzvah, or there's no Kiyum HaMitzvah. So that's a Kiyum HaMitzvah. There's no ceremonies. It's not like, it's ceremonial, you know, on Lulav, on Sukkot to show that you have a lulav. There's got to be mashmaos to it. So Tosfos says, yeah, there's absolutely mashmaos to it, that it's a continuation of the kiyum mitzvah. It's like continuing to wear tzitzis after the first moment you put them on in the morning. So it's a continuation of the kiyum mitzvah. Tosfos understands. Okay, we could talk about this all day. Let's move on, though. Says the Mishnah, halokeach lulav mechaver b'shviyas. If a person buys a lulav from his friend during the Shemitah year, so the halacha is nosin lo esrog b'matana. The esrog should be given as a gift. The esrog is not included as part of the sale. Lefi shein rashi lelokcha b'shvias, because one is not allowed to purchase an esrog during shmita. And the Gemara will explain exactly what the problem is. Rashi points out that the girsa maybe should be different. It should not be alokeach lulav mechavero, because the Gemara is going to say that we're talking specifically when you buy from an ama aretz. And an ama aretz, when you are a chaver and you're buying from an amaretz, we wouldn't call him chavero. We would say from an amaretz. So the girsa should reflect that, Rashi says. And if the lokeach is an amaretz, so then you could call the seller an amaretz. You can call the seller who is also an amaretz chavero, but then we're talking to an amaretz. We're telling amaretz, don't trust amaretzim. mean, difficult sell to tell Amaratzim not to trust Amaratzim. So Pashna says we're talking to a chaver who's purchasing from an Amaretz. So you should give the esrog as a matana when the chaver buys the whole dalad minim from the Amaretz. He should say, "Do me a favor. I'll pay you for whatever I'll pay you an excessive amount or whatever it is you need for the lulav. But do me a favor, give me the esrog as a matana." So it says actually, one thing. The Rishonim ask over here that even lechatchila you're allowed to buy an esrog shel shvius to say a bracha, and right, that's what it sounds like from the Mishnah, that even lechatchila there's no problem with buying an esrog shel shvius. You don't have to avoid buying an esrog shel shvius. You just have to make sure that you're not paying for it, that you're getting it b'matana. So the Achronim asked the question. We just had a sugya not that long ago, a few days ago, that an esrog shel truma tahora lechatchila lo yital. If you use an esrog shel truma tahora yotzei lechatchila lo yital. Why? Either Mesha Machshira, because when you put it in contact with the soaking wet lulav, it will become Hukshar Lekabel Tuma, or it's and it's a violation of Mishmeres Trumasi that you have to protect Truma from becoming Tame, or Mesha Mafsida, because when you handle it, you're going to be ruining the outside klipa, and it's going to become disgusting and ruined by the Mishmash Yadayim by being handled all the time, and you're not allowed to be Mafsid Truma. That's also learned from Mishmeres Trumasi. You have to protect Truma from being physically destroyed. Now, if you say the din is Machshira Lekabel Tuma, so that's only by Truma, right, where you're not allowed to be Machshira because you have to protect it from Tuma. But by Shvius, there's no Isser to eat Peru Shvius that became Tame. But if you say that the issue is Mimresha Mafsida, that's the concern by Truma Tahora, Lechara, that same concern exists when it comes to Peru Shvius. And Esrog of Shvius, it's La'achlav Lola Hefsin. Perus of Shvius, you're allowed to eat, but you're not allowed to destroy Perus of Shvius. That's why when you buy a bottle of wine, you have to be careful. A lot of times they export Shemitah wine. You buy a bottle of wine, it will say, oats are based in Shemitah wine. Yeah, oats are based in, so if you trust that the Otzer Beis Din is a good enough reason to be matu the schoro, or to make it that it's not called schoro, you're just paying for whatever, you're not really paying for the wine. So it's somehow you get around the Yisr schoro. Yeah, that's the Yisr schoro. But what about the Yisr being mafsid perus shvius? So you have to be careful not to spill it over on the when you make Havdalah with it to put out the fire with it, because that's being mafsid it. You have to drink every last drop of Shemitah wine. They sell it in regular stores. A lot of times people buy wine, they have no idea that they're buying Shemitah wine, and they use it for cooking, they use it for this, but so you have to be very careful to only use it for drinking. But anyway, so the question that the Achronim ask is, how could it be that lechatchila you're allowed to use an esrog shel shvius? You're being mafsid it. So he says, so a few terutzim are offered by the Achronim. The Masifta of Yer quotes 8 different terutzim that are offered by the Achronim. I'm not going to go through 8. One of them is that when that which the esrog is destroyed by mishmash yadayim, that's only a grama. You're taking it kedarko. You're just picking it up. You're allowed to pick up a fruit, and it's, nevertheless, it's going to cause the esrog to be nifsad. But by truma, even a grama is asur, because mishmeres trumasi, there's dafka din in protecting it. By shvius, it's not a din in protection. It's not a din in protecting it from any potential damage. By shvius, it's a din of lo'ach v'lo lehefsid. You're not allowed to go be mafsid it. So if it happens, bidero grama, that one guy picks it up, then he hands it to the next guy picks it up. So who's ruining it? Nobody's really ruining it. Everyone's just using it normally. And in the end of the day, it's going to be ruined a little bit. So that's bidero grama. That's considered not a violation of the parish. Okay, says the Gemara, lo rata liten lo matana mahu. What if you tell the fellow, listen, give it to me as a matana. I would like for, you could try this with anything. You can go into a car dealership and say, do me a favor, give me the car as a matana. It's possible that it'll say no. So what happens if the mocher is not interested in giving you the esrog as a matana? So then what do you do? Pay extra for the lulav. If he tells you that the esrog costs $60 and the lulav costs $5, tell him, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $65 for the lulav, give me the esrog for free. And that way you can solve the problem. And probably he'll agree to that. So Tosos raises the question, well, actually, Lufi Shein Mosrin Demei where am I? So I'm Rav Mavliel Dmei Asur Belulav. So Frank Gemara Vleisav Leibadei. So this is a question. Vleisav Leibadei. Why can't you just give it straight? Why do you have to do this? So Lefishein Mosin Dmei Peru Shvius Lama Aretz. You can't just give it straight because you don't give Dmei Peru Shvius to an Ama Aretz. You're not allowed to give the money that has Kedusha Shvius that was exchanged for Kedusha Shvius to an Ama Aretz, because that money also you're not allowed to be shomer. You're not allowed to leave over for the next year. You have to use it immediately. And as Rashi points out, Amayar is chashudin al kach, so you don't give them that money to do anything with that money. It's lifnei iver to give them that money. Tosfos asks, why don't we just say that the reason for the iser is because you're not allowed to do schorah the perishvias. That's why you can't pay him straight up for it. That there's nisr schorah. So forget about lifnei iver. You're giving him money that has kedusha shvias, and what's he going to do with that money? You're giving him money for fruits of shvias, and that's usher. You're not allowed to. He's not allowed to sell fruits of shvias. He's not allowed to do schorah with fruits of shvias. So Tosfos points out that the iser of schorah with perishvias is not always usher. There are several circumstances where you can get around the iser of schorah. Maybe only if the guy himself is malakit pesada, then it's usher for him to sell. But if he gives it to his son or to someone else to sell, then maybe that's not an iser schora. Or even if he's not malakit ba'atzmo, but he buys it from someone else, sold any time that he's kona laharviach and he buys it in order to sell at a raised price. So that's part of the iser schora. But otherwise, maybe it wouldn't be the iser schora. So there are ways around the iser schora. Tosfos says. So we're assuming you figured out a way around the iser schora. But the Kedusha Shvius on the money, that you haven't figured out a way around. The Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa, Ein Mosin, Dmei Perish Shvius Lam Aretz, Yosim Mazon Shalosh Sudos. Never give an exorbitant sum of money, of Shvius money, to an Am Aretz, no more than 3 meals worth of food, because the 3 meals worth he'll use right away. But if you give him a lot of money, he may put it away into savings. Tulsa says, an esrog costs more than 3 meals worth of food. We have a Gemara in Mi'ila. The Gemara says, you give a guy 2 prutos, and you say, do me a favor, with one of them buy me a rimon, with the other one buy me an esrog. Sounds like an esrog costs a pruta, it costs a pittance, it costs nothing. What do you mean, 3 meals worth of food? So it says, yeah, if you want a kashra esrog for the mitzvah, it costs 3 meals worth of food. If you want an esrog to eat, it'll cost about as much as a lemon, so it's not going to cost that much. So that's the difference. And if you do give him the money that has Kedusha Shvius, you should immediately be mechalel the Kedusha of that money on whatever you have in your house, on peros that you have in your house. So those peros will have the Kedusha Shvius and the money won't. And then the chaver, who now has transferred the kedusha from that money to the peros in his house, will go back home and make sure that those peros are eaten with kedusha shvius. He has to then treat those peros with kedusha shvius, but that's the way to avoid the lifnei iver when you give it to the amaretz. That's only that you're allowed to give him up until 3 seudos. That's when you're buying it mina mufkar, that you saw that the guy that this Amaretz who's selling you these peros took it from a field that was mufkar, that the Amaretz was not guarding the field in violation of the halachos of Shemitah. But if it was Meshumar, he was guarding the field the whole time in violation of the halachos of Shemitah, so then you're not allowed to give him any money for it. So Masrav Sheshes, Umina Mufkar Gimel Sudos Vesulo. But wait a second. If it was a field that he was mafkir, that you know that he was mafkir, you're allowed to give him only three sudos with the money and not any more? Or a minhi alaskistira hapigim vahayar buzin vahashitim vahalgologos vahakufs vahakuspar shebaharim vahakarpas shebaharos vahagargil shel efer. All of these things are minim that are not chashav at all and aren't normal food. Peturim in a meiser, so they're all pater from meiser, but they do have kedusha shvius. V'nikach and mikol adam b'shvius l'vishim kiyotze ben nishmar. But you're allowed to buy them from anyone during shmita, even though they have kedusha shvius, because you could assume that no one would guard them, that they're not chashuv enough for anyone to guard. So there's an assumption that they weren't guarded. So there's no problem buying them during the shmita year. Now it doesn't say how much. It sounds like you're allowed to buy even more than 3 meals worth. So don't you see that you're allowed to buy more than 3 meals worth? When you're lokech mina mufkar, you can give a lot of money. So it's a kasha. How come we said that when you're lokech mina mufkar, you can only give up until 3 meals worth? Over here, you're giving something. The money that you give is going to have kedusha shvius, and we don't give any limits on what you're paying for it. So who most of love umafarikla? The same Rav Sheshes who asked this question also answered this question. B'kedei man shanu. Now, when it says that you could buy, it doesn't mean you could buy an unlimited amount. It means b'kedei man, as Rashi explains, b'kedei mizonosav shanu. chachin v'hainu shalosh seudas, that you're only allowed to buy up until 3 meals worth. It really means 3 meals worth. V'cheinam rabba v'chanam rabbi yochanan v'kitei man shanu, that it means up until 3 meals worth, and that's it. May mashma d'hai man lishna d'mizonihu, where do you see that the word man, that it means lashon of mizonos, v'kitei man, that we ever use that term as lashon of mizonos, d'chsiv v'yiman lahem hamelech. I don't know why we don't assume just man is, like the manna bread. I don't know. But v'yiman lahem hamelech, so we see k'day man refers to food. Ihachi lulav nami. Well, wait a second. Shouldn't you be worried about the lulav also? The lulav also has kedushas shvius. If you're not allowed to give the money of shvius to namaretz, so why are you allowed to buy a lulav from him? We should be knowing shvius on the lulav also. So answer Gemara, lulav bar shishas ha'nechnesas l'shviusu. We're talking about a lulav that grew in the 6th year that you still have around in the 7th year, but it's not a shvius lulav, and therefore we're not worried about the lulav. Ihachi asrog nami bar shishas ha'nechnesas l'shviusu. When you're buying a set of dalamina, whatever the lulav is, the esrog is. So if the lulav is really a 6-year esrog that you happen to be buying in the 7th year, the esrog probably is also. So esrog basa l'kitas lina, no, the esrog's probably not. Because by esrog, when we determine what year the esrog is from, we determine based on when you pick it off of the tree. By the lulav, we don't determine based on when you pick it off of the tree, we determine based on chanata, based on when it's growing in the ground. So it's going to be a different geder. So at the same time, you could be buying a lulav and an esrog that were picked off the tree at the same time, and the esrog will have kedusha shvius, and the lulav will not, and that's what our mishnah is talking about. And now the next question, the follow up question, takes us well into the next daf of whether esrog is really basar l'kita azlinan. Do we necessarily know that that's the case, that esrog is basar l'kita azlinan? So Be'ez Hashem will pick up with that tomorrow.